Good morning. Those of you who were here last week know that this past week I went on a retreat, a private retreat, with Monsignor Richard Lopez. Yes, the blessed one. I'm too tired. You, Jen, you're like, good. Okay. Now let me preface the story I'm about to tell you with this. I love Monsignor, okay? I mean, he was my teacher in the seventh grade. He preached in my first mass. He's one of the best priests I know. He's the best homilist I've ever heard. With that being said, let's talk about the retreat, shall we? We begin the retreat with this agreement. I say to him the night before, let's start our mornings until after lunch in silence. Let's have a silent retreat in the morning until after lunch. Great idea, he says to me. Good. The next morning, the first morning, if you will, there we're in this room that we have made now into a chapel. We're sitting quietly after celebrating the Mass, and we're sitting quietly in prayer, and this is what I hear. This is a really good idea. You know, this is a good idea by doing this in silence, because sometimes you can't concentrate on going on retreat. Okay, good. I'm glad you like it. Okay, good. But we're still being quiet until after lunch. Oh, yeah, yeah. I remember this one time when I was on retreat, and all they did was talk throughout it. It was crazy. They forgot it was a retreat. Yeah, that's difficult. Let's just be quiet until after lunch. Yeah, right. What are we having for dinner? With that, Killian and I went up to the mountain and we prayed. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. My friends, last week as we talked about prayer calls us to be still. Prayer calls us to be still and listen to the voice of God. Well, faith calls us to take what we have heard, put it into action, and then change our lives. In today's gospel reading from St. Matthew about the transfiguration, we are given just a glimpse of the glory of God and just a glimpse of heaven. But in the verse just before this telling of the transfiguration, we are also told how Jesus gathers his apostles for the very first time, and he tells them, the Son of Man will be taken by his enemies. He will be beaten, and then he will be murdered. But my friends, it wasn't until after the crucifixion and the resurrection that the apostles understood that before the Son of Man could wear his crown of glory, he would first have to bear his cross and suffer. And so, my friends, if you have not figured this out yet, so will we. As Christians, as followers of Jesus Christ, we're asked to do the exact same thing. A few years ago, I read the statistic that said over 75% of people living in the United States believe there is a God. They believe in a higher power, over 75%. That's a good thing. But now stop and ask yourself, considering the condition of this world, the condition of this country that we live in, how many of those people who say they believe in God are allowing God to affect and change their lives? Someone sent me a cartoon when I was on retreat, and the caption read, all Christians say they want to go to heaven, but most are living like they want to go to hell. So stop and ask yourself, is how I practice my faith, is how I treat other people, is that truly complementary to what I say I believe? My friends, anyone can claim to believe in God. Anyone can say they believe in God. Even Satan knows there is a God. But faith alone, lip service, is not going to get anyone into heaven. For recall what we read in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, when Jesus himself said, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father." My friends, in other words, Jesus is saying to us, we must do more than saying we believe. We must put that faith into action with every fiber of our being. This is my beloved Son. God the Father called down and said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." But the question is, are we? Aren't we listening? You see, God wasn't just looking for lip service from his disciples then, and he is certainly not looking for lip service from his disciples today. Now, as we read, St. James, St. John, and St. Peter, they were all present with our Lord at the moment of the Transfiguration. And we know these great saints, they are considered pillars of the faith. Pillars of faith, not because they were called, because, my friends, the truth is, each and every single person has been called by name by Jesus Christ. No, they were called pillars of the faith because they listened. They listened. They changed their lives. They put their faith into action, even when it meant suffering and dying for Christ. St. James proved this by becoming the first apostle to be martyred. St. Peter also was martyred, but not before. He accepted the keys of the kingdom, or became this church's very first pope. And St. John, the beloved disciple, he proved this by protecting and caring for the Blessed Mother and dying in exile while fearlessly proclaiming and teaching the faith. My friends, this is that faith. This is that church that those men were willing to live and die for, because it was given to them. It was given to us by Jesus Christ, and it was passed down by the apostles so that we too may be transfigured, that we may transfigure our lives so that we could hear the word of God, receive the body and blood of Christ worthily, build up the kingdom of God here on earth, even if it means we must sacrifice to do it. This is my beloved Son. God the Father still speaks those words today. This is my beloved Son. Listen to him. But again, are we listening? Are we listening to Christ, and are we changing our lives and putting our faith into action? My brothers and sisters, as I said, everybody wants to go to heaven. Everyone wants to go to heaven. Even atheists say they want to go to heaven. But how many of us are willing to carry the cross? No, our church is not man-made. Listen to that. This church is not man-made. This church is God-given. This is the only church that was founded and given to us by Jesus Christ. And it was given to us to transform our lives, to transform our lives into the image and likeness of Jesus Christ. C.S. Lewis once said, "Integrity is doing the right thing, even when no one is looking." I believe the same thing can be said about our faith. My friends, Jesus loved us enough. Jesus loved us enough to die for our salvation. But do we love him enough to live for our faith, even if it means suffering? Prayer calls us to be still and hear the word of God. Well, faith calls us to take what we have heard, put it into action, and then change our lives. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.